Outside a small office on Main Street, big trucks rumble through the tiny town of Council on their way to somewhere else. They all have one thing in common: none of them carry logs or lumber. Third-generation logger Mark Mahon says that's a far cry from when he grew up here in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I remember sitting in elementary school, and my dad was driving a log truck. I'd get up out of my desk and go over and watch the truck go by, and very rare that we even see log trucks coming through town anymore.
Mark says kids knew they would follow in their dad's footsteps and get a job logging or working for a sawmill. Adams County Commissioner Bill Brown grew up in nearby New Meadows and worked in a sawmill like his dad. He even lost his hand to the job in 1976. He also remembers when timber companies provided a good-paying job and inexpensive housing.
All the lawns were mowed. All the places were painted every other year or two. It was a community, and people had pride in what they have.
But since the 1980s, lumber production here has dropped by 90%. As a result,
the stability of the small rural communities has been shaken to its core.
To really understand how Adams County got to this point, you have to go back to just after World War II. Demand for lumber shot up as returning GIs wanted their own home. To meet the demand, the federal government allowed timber harvest on federal lands in Idaho and nearby states. Dr. Jay O'Laughlin is a professor of forestry and policy sciences at the University of Idaho. Idaho's logging business, he says, began to boom.
There was really a three-decade peak. It began in the late 1950s and it ended in the late 1980s when there were huge quantities of timber removed from the National Forest System lands.
During this peak, there was also a cultural change happening in America. O'Laughlin says the country started seeing the national forest in a different way, starting in the 1970s.
With the passage of these environmental laws, the Endangered Species Act of 1973, the Planning Act for National Forests in 1976, plus the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act of the early 1970s. So 1970s truly was the environmental era.
Federal protections for the northern spotted owl, sockeye salmon, and several other fish through the 1990s continued to decrease timber harvests on federal land. John Freemuth, a professor of political science and public policy at Boise State University, says that led to big changes from the many years when Idahoans were able to get lots of resources out of federal lands.
But as values have changed, I think some Idahoans have felt that what they got used to changed on them. They got upset by that.
Mills began to close. As that happened, resentment for the federal government here grew.
People closest to the land feel their voice doesn't matter, okay? That's a legitimate concern.
Mark Mahon has managed to hang on to his family's logging operation, but many federal regulations have made his job harder.
I get very frustrated, and you just shake your head and walk away because there's so much of this land that could be put to use.
State Representative Paul Shepard of Riggins has been involved with timber all his life. He owns a small mill and builds log homes for a living. He's watched mills close over the years and is as frustrated as anyone with the regulations handed down from Washington, D.C.
Because the federal government is obligated to represent the whole United States, and people not aware of Idaho get to weigh in and gang up on Idaho.
Shepard this year introduced a bill that would have essentially nullified some Environmental Protection Agency rules in Idaho. He's also in favor of the state taking over federal lands.
It's because the other states don't have public land and they think they're saving this public land. They don't understand what's happening out here. They think they're doing the right thing.
No matter Washington's intent, logger Mark Mahon says federal rules are slowly turning his hometown into a ghetto.
It's just very depressing to drive through downtown Council. It's very junky. All these buildings had businesses in them when I was growing up, and there's really no industry.
Some former logging towns have reinvented themselves by focusing on things like tourism or recreation. But Adams County has a long way to go. Unemployment here is nearly 12%, the second highest in the state. A figure like that makes it easier to understand why communities like this one are weary of the federal government. For KBSX, I'm Samantha Wright.